My name is Henry Moret. I am 14 years old. Today is December 8th, and I'm speaking with Mac Moret, who is my father. I am recording this interview in my home in Los Gatos, California.
And my name is Mac Moret. I am 44 years old. Today is still December 8th, and I'm speaking with Henry, who is my son. I am also recording this interview here at our home in Los Gatos, California.
What sparked your interest in coding?
I guess when I was a little kid, a few years younger than you, I started using a program called HyperCard that would let you make these kind of interactive games, and so you could draw a picture on something that was, you know, sort of like an index card, and you could set up regions where you could click on, then it would go to a different card, and so you could make little adventure games where you would go, you know, from card to card to card. And then I wanted to make my games more interesting, so there were these extensions you could use in order to make things more interesting, but some of them cost money. And so eventually I wanted to make my own extensions because I wanted to be able to do some of the things that the ones that that cost money could do. And so I had a friend who had a C compiler and knew a little bit about C. And I got a pirated copy of his C compiler so that I could make a extension for HyperCard that would let me build pop-up menus. Because at the time, HyperCard, you could have things that would link you to another card or something like that, but if you wanted to make a pop-up menu where you could just pick from a bunch of options, then they couldn't do that. So I made a thing that could do that, and then it turned out that that was more complicated than it looked, and so I just learned more and more about programming in order to make it better.
Why did you choose to work at Apple and not another rising company from the early 2000s?
When I came to Apple, they were actually not very much of a rising company. There was a lot of money poured into tech companies in the very early 2000s and then in late 90s, and then there was a tech bubble that they called it, and it burst, and a lot of those companies weren't doing very well. And Apple itself was actually looking especially bad. They had been run by subpar management for quite a while and didn't really know what they were doing, and then in 1997, Steve Jobs came back to the company, and it was one of those things where it was clear that he was either going to save the company or kill it. So Sonia and I had just gotten married and bought a house in Rochester, New York, which is about as far as you can get from Silicon Valley and still be in the United States. And I had an opportunity to come work at Apple, but I crucially had an opportunity to come work at Apple and not have to move all the way to California. They wanted me to move to Portland, Oregon instead. So I went out and interviewed. It was maybe the second time I'd ever been on the West Coast, and really liked the people that I met. When I came back home to Rochester and I was telling Sonia about it, I told her that, you know, maybe this was, you know, Apple was this company that I always admired and thought it would be cool to work at, and maybe this was my last chance to work for them before they went out of business. So we decided to move out west and you know, move to Portland so we didn't have to move to California. Here it is almost 20 years later, and we ended up moving to California, and Apple still hasn't gone out of business.
Yeah, it's It's a happy ending.
Well, it's hopefully not an ending.
Yeah. But... Well, a happy to be continued.
There you go. Yeah, and I had always wanted to work at Apple because I just thought that they had a different take on computing that was just better than the way that other computer companies thought of it. I thought that their computers were designed more for people, and I thought that that was just a better way to think about computers in general, is that they're here to help us out, not the other way around.
Yeah. I guess that actually flows quite nicely into my next question, which is, what was computer programming like when you were young, and how does it differ from how it is today?
Oh, man. I guess the biggest difference is probably that when you don't know what you're doing today, you can look it up on the internet. If you get a strange message, you can look it up on the internet. And back when I was learning to program, we didn't have the internet. And so... you would just sort of have to be confused for a long time and eventually try enough stuff that it worked out. You know, the programming languages were a little different, but they're fairly similar. You know, developer tools used to cost a lot of money. Usually these days, a lot of times these days, they're free, at least for students. And so that really limited, you know, what tools you could have. Piracy was a lot easier back then, so you could just pirate things, but it was just as illegal.
Yeah. So how were the programming languages different? Like, was there any like lessened availability to knowledge on how to use them?
Well, some languages like Java and JavaScript that are, you know, and Python that are popular today just hadn't been invented yet. But that said, a lot of these languages ultimately look a lot like C, and C was the programming language that I used, you know, to get started. It was regular C these days. People are doing a lot of C++. But the basic syntax of C, you know, that turned into all of these other languages that you see today. They've kind of expanded on the way that C worked. And so, you know, whether it's Java or JavaScript, certainly Python to a lesser degree, but pretty much all programming languages are informed by the way that C worked.
That's interesting. Do you think that the HyperCard, was it, is one of the biggest reasons why you're in this industry today?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it started with trying to do something simple there that was very approachable, and then doing, you know, learning a little more, doing a little more, and just kind of continuing to pull a thread. And so, yeah, I mean, I it's not like I got into programming because I had this idea that programming was a good idea. I was trying to get something done and, you know, just taking the next step to try to get there.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of programming, isn't it? You're basically telling a computer, what you've got to get done. I guess it's a little more complicated than that, but... Yeah, you're basically entering commands to tell a computer something it has to do, and then it just does it.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's something nice about that. You know, there's a lot of things that you don't have much control over, right? You don't know what the weather is going to be like tomorrow or whether there's going to be traffic. But... when you're writing a program, the computer's gonna do what you told it to do. It's not gonna do necessarily what you meant it to do. you know, you might have a bug in your program. But even that, then that's just a little puzzle for you to go and figure out.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that analogy, that programming is a lot like trying to solve a giant puzzle, but also at the same time, trying to make the puzzle as you go.
Yeah, it's sort of like a find your own adventure puzzle. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of little puzzles to figure out along the way, and ultimately it all fits together into a bigger one.
Yeah. What are some of your accomplishments in your work or programming life that you're most proud of?
Oh, I mean, a lot. I guess that's mostly a while ago at this point. I don't do anything particularly exciting these days. Yeah. I guess if I go way back, I could be proud of the fact that when I had my first couple jobs writing software, I was doing stuff that was just incredibly boring in sort of the overall world of programming. I wrote some software to talk to gas station equipment, and I wrote printer drivers. But I had fun doing it because I had always just wanted to write software, and I wanted everything else to be out of my way. You know, I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to go to bed. I just wanted to write software. And now suddenly that was my job. Mm-hmm. And I just had, you know, a ton of fun doing that. As far as like things that I got done, I mean, there's a particular animation of a card flipping, and you can sort of see it flips over and it lands, and you can see it settle as if the last of the wind is pushing out from underneath it. And I worked together with my friend Frank on that for, you know, days, and it just right, and it you know, animated very smoothly, and all of the curves were just right. You know, there are some things like that, you know, I put probably more attention into than most people would ever notice.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were some things that I made run faster. You know, the way that I got the way I got on Apple's radar and why they recruited me is I went to a conference where people would stay up for a whole weekend and they would write really stupid programs. And then at the end of the weekend, everybody would demo their program and then people could vote on which ones they liked. And I won that contest by making a program that made it so your screen, that you could like rotate it to an arbitrary angle, but it was still your regular screen. So like you could only see part of it because it would be kind of rotated off.
Yeah.
Or it could be completely upside down.
Do you have any future goals for your career, or are you happy with your current situation?
I guess I don't have a ton of goals for myself these days, other than, you know, maybe before I fully retire, it would be nice to go back to writing software full time. A lot of what I'm trying to do these days is get people who I work with to learn how to do a better job. Not that they're doing a bad job, but, you know, helping people kind of grow and learn and do new things that they're interested in. Mm-hmm. And so I have goals around that. You know, things that I'm trying to get people to expand into. But no, I don't have, I guess I don't have a ton of personal goals other than this desire to go back to writing software.
Yeah. What region of Apple do you really want to write software for? Like, is there a specific area, or do you just want to write software, period?
You know, I mean, I have a couple of bugs and apps that I use all the time that it would be nice for me to be able to just go and fix. But otherwise, I kind of like the area that I work in. I work in apps that are consumer facing, so ones that I would want to use. Mm-hmm. And there's something that you know, I've just always found gratifying about being able to work on a thing that you use every day.
Yeah. I remember when I was much younger, I thought, like, oh, Papa works at a place where they make programs, so obviously he works on Minecraft. And so I would just always think that,
you were one of the people who would help make Minecraft. And I found that really cool.
Sadly not so glorious.
Yeah, well, I didn't really understand that there are different departments of the tech industry. I just sort of thought, like, okay, people work on computers. That means that they just work on every single aspect of computer. Yeah, it wasn't the smartest.
Well, it makes sense though. It's I mean, I think it works that way in any industry that you don't have a ton of information on, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's, I'm sure, hundreds, thousands of people who work on a movie, and when you think about making a movie, you think of, oh, well, you know, there's these people that make movies and they just do everything to make the movie. Yeah. But really, there's just tons and tons and tons of people that you never see.
As you can tell by the fact that the credits go on for like 20 minutes.
They do.
What are some things that you'd like me to know about pursuing a future in the software industry?
Oh, I think, I think the most important thing would be that you have to like what you're doing and you have to be curious about it, because the technology is going to change an awful lot, you know, during your career, no matter what it is that you're working on, if you're working in programming. And so you're always going to have to learn new things. And that's just so much easier to do if you actually enjoy it. And, you know, again, I told you when I first started writing software, I was just excited that somebody would pay me to write software.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, and if you can find work that, you know, where all you need to do is write software, then that's great. But if you start getting bored of just that and you want to work on, you know, something specific or something like that, then, you know, it's a good idea to try to find a job where you can chase that. And then the other thing I would say, and this is just almost certainly of no value, but, I think it's useful to find a place where you can grow, so you can actually keep a job for a while and work with the same people all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know how common that is these days, but...
Yeah, well, that's kind of the situation you have, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I've worked at Apple for almost 20 years, and mm-hmm. I worked with a lot of the same people that all the time, and that's one of the things that I really like about my job, is I just like mm-hmm. the people that I work with, and, you know, I think they're smart and interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, I do enjoy programming a whole lot, but then again, most of what I've done so far is just stuff that I want to do. Like with the Genius mm-hmm. Hour project, I thought to make a program for that project. It was pretty open-ended, and so I decided to make a program, and so that was something I wanted to do. And then beyond that, it's all just been stuff that I enjoy doing. Like, I think, okay, I think this will be cool, and so I do it. But I haven't really run into, like, do this programming because you're assigned to do it, not because it's something you want to do. So mm-hmm. I guess I don't know how much I would enjoy doing assigned programming, but I think that I definitely enjoy, like, figuring it out, the ins and outs of, like, all the programming languages enough to the point where I could probably enjoy doing most of everything.
Yeah, I think that there's, I mean, it's always nice to have some control over what it is you get to do, you know, like what technology you're working with or something like that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times you can turn your job into being able to do that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's, you know, if you want to do graphics programming or something like that, you can probably find a job where you get to work in graphics, and maybe that'll be enough fun, even though you don't get to decide specifically, you know, what graphics you get to work on.
Yeah, I think, yeah, graphics is an area in general programming stuff that I still haven't really tried out yet. But yeah, there's a lot that I have to learn about this general area of expertise that I really want to know, but I've just barely scratched the surface. So yeah, I think this is a really, really interesting field to be in. Like the general programming mm-hmm. field. Because it's something that I've just sort of always admired. Like when I was little and I thought you worked on Minecraft, I thought like, that's pretty cool. I want to work on Minecraft too. But then again, pretty much every little kid looks up to their parents. But then as I grew up, when I was a bit younger, I wanted to build mechanical things like robots and whatnot. And I had some very high expectations for my capabilities. I wanted to make like giant mech suits or something. But then as I got older, like probably around in sixth grade, I really developed a love for programming and software engineering instead.
Yeah, with software, it's a little bit easier to see incremental results. You know, when you're building a robot, you have to worry about all sorts of things and sensors and all this, and it's really hard to make advances. Whereas with software, you can make a program that asks you a question and you give it an answer, and then you can make a program that asks you two questions.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy.
And you get it two answers.
But yeah, everything else you want a robot to do is a whole new challenge.
Yeah, I guess my main expectation with robots is like, oh, well, I can make robots do stuff for me, like answer the questions I have. But really, programming does more or less the same thing. You can program the thing that'll answer a math question. I think that's what calculators are. And so...
Yeah, and it turns out you don't need robots if, you know... You have software on your phone and your watch and your computer.
Yep. Yeah, nobody really needs to have, like, a mech suit that's, like, three times as big as they are, believe it or not. Well, thank you for joining me in this interview today.
Well, thanks for buying me dinner. I really appreciate it.
That was definitely me. I'm glad that we were able to have a conversation that wasn't just us talking about coding for, like, the whole time. I guess, like, not exactly... I guess we did sort of talk about coding for the whole time, but not, like, just the boring part of it. Boring to other people, that is. But, yeah, this has been fun.
This has been great. Thanks for interviewing me.
Thanks for... responding.
All right.